Good morning, church. It's a joy to be in the house of the Lord. We've been going through a series in Matthew, and Dr. Hugh has graciously and wonderfully surmised the Sermon on the Mount. There we see the kingdom of God in words. Now we are transitioning over to Matthew chapter 8, and Matthew chapter 8 and 9 is the kingdom of God in action. Very meticulously and in a very intentional format, Matthew gives a certain format where we see three miracles, one lesson, three miracles, one lesson, three miracles, one lesson. In the miracles, we learn about the King, we learn about the Lord, we learn about God. In the lesson, we ask about ourselves. Yeah, we ask about ourselves, we get the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and challenge us. The challenge for us is next week. Today, we just want to ponder on the God of Jacob, the God of Mary, the God of Moses, the God of David, the Lord God that is Jesus, and asking the question of the leper, Lord, if you are willing. Now, thanks be to God, we can see things retrospectively, because at the cross at the resurrection, we can definitely say, Lord, He is willing. But what did Jesus sign up for when He says, I am willing? So I pray that this is not a sermon on addressing doubts, but actually this is a sermon that actually brings about confidence in the face of our doubts. I also pray that this will not be a text argument for the ministry of healing. So don't worry, I'm not going to be starting a healing and intercessory ministry anytime soon. But by the way, we are already doing that. Surprise, right? As a conservative Baptist church, how do we have that? Well, we have that in our Saturday morning prayer. We have that in our Sunday pastoral prayer. You think when our dear brother Arnold pray for those who are sick and elderly, we're praying just for peace and that they may go in peace? No, we pray to a living, active, and loving God, a God who's in by His grace may give peace in our pain and may give healing in His will. We see the hand of healing. Especially when we go as witnesses, as visitors, we do visitation ministry. We visit people in hospitals when they're sick at home. And we're not going there to just provide them comfort. It's, oh yeah, it's a 50-50 chance for either way you win. Even though that is true, that's not the point. The point is we are helping to bring about the presence of God, and we want to ask the person who is ailing to ask the question, Lord, if you are willing, do it to me as you see fit. I seek for healing, but I seek for peace. So I hope we will get into this text and see, and don't become like a lawyer and go before God. Say, nah, you see, God, you did this before, you must do it again. No, 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 no. Lord, you've done it before, you will do it again, but your will is in your purpose. Yeah? So just to clear that up, we continue to be that mainstream. We continue to be that Bible base. We are Spirit-filled. Yeah? But we bless those who have yet to be able to see, that they may see the goodness of God. So let me read Matthew chapter 8. We're going from verses 1 to 17. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to it. Yeah? I like to encourage people to take out their physical Bibles and read together. Yeah? Share with a friend. Yeah? Share with a friend. Or if you have a Bible app in your phone, I encourage you to use it, but use that app only. Hint, hint. This passage is also has a nice and timely passage where it talks about mother-in-laws. We'll get into that shortly. Matthew chapter 8, reading from verse 1. When Jesus came down to the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him and asking for his help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, "He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, King of kings, Lord of lords, you who rule and reign in the kingdom of heaven, we ask at this moment, O Lord, that your kingdom come, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we thank you for the journey that we have gone through in hearing about the kingdom of heaven in the words of your Son, Jesus. And now as we see the kingdom of heaven in action by what Jesus has done, we ask, O Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, and our hearts open to receive the wonders and majesty and mystery of your good, good news that gives us hope that is everlasting, faith that moves mountains, and the assurance to know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you, O Lord, my God, my rock, my Savior, and Redeemer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we get into the text and into the points, I would like you to help me picture the old ways of worship. What do I mean by the old ways of worship? Imagine our ancestors, yeah? When they are sick, what do they do religiously? When they are in trouble, what do they do religiously? When they are in pain, what do they do religiously? When they are lost, what do they do? What do they even do today? You don't need to look far. Being in Malaysia, our religious lands are gazetted, so there will always be three places of worship at any township. So next to this church, we have a Buddhist temple, and behind us is a Hindu temple. And they maintain the practices of the past even until today. Think about what they had to do then, and see what Jesus is radicalizing in that background. Because for the Jews, even in those days, they had a temple. And the temple is the temple of Herod. It's the second temple renovated after the temple of Nehemiah. Yeah, and they build it up so that people can go there And for all those things, they can worship. But if you had a gander in the book of the law, Genesis to Deuteronomy, you will realize that there are a lot of rules to follow. 613 of them to be precise. And in some conditions, you can go in some conditions, you cannot. In some conditions, you need a mediator. In some conditions, you need to be cast away and only be able to seek help from a distance. Then Jesus comes into the picture and changes the whole script. And so I'd like to challenge us here. If you're not a Christian, I would like to invite you to see the willingness of Jesus, the willingness of God in the context of the culture which we grow up in and around. If you are a Christian, this is a good stock take time to realize the beautiful advantages that we have in following Jesus. Yeah? So it does not, so you do not need to find a healer or mediator on this earth. We have Jesus Christ as the mediator. We do not need to go to a certain sacred space or location. God is our Emmanuel. He is with us. We do not need anyone to do anything super special, but only to encourage us so that we may go before God and say, Lord, if you are willing, make me clean, make me whole, make me healed. This is the flow of the text, and it is in the religious background that the Jews of the day had practiced, that many other non-Christian religions still today practice, and the gospel still changes everything. Let me start with, the whole idea is that Lord Jesus, He is willing. He is willing in many ways, and every time He wills to do something, He breaks a boundary. Yeah, He breaks a boundary. So you will see here in two columns, yeah, Lord Jesus is willing to do something, and in doing something, He is willing to break a boundary which either has been religiously, legally, culturally, yeah, that would that normally people would avoid. But Jesus comes in and breaks that, because who the Son sets free, He is free indeed. And if He is willing, He will move mountains. Okay, so let's take a look and see. Lord Jesus is the willing priest for the unclean. The first thing we see is that the Lord Jesus is the willing priest for the unclean. I'm not going to read back the text again. Let me paraphrase it. You need to understand, in those days, as is according to the law of Moses, if you have open ulcers, if you have anything that looks like leprosy, leprosy in this context, the leprous person may not necessarily have leprosy. He might have eczema. He might have a skin infection that is not leprosy. But the moment we see open wounds that doesn't seem to heal, in the old days, as a form of confinement and a way to protect a community, that person is ousted. He is taken out, and he can only therefore seek God from afar. How sad is that? The one who really needs the help from God cannot even go into the domain of God to seek for help. So when he saw Jesus walking through, he went against that boundary of purity and asked the Lord, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So he admits and he knows, Lord, I am coming to you unworthy. I am coming to you unclean. I am coming to you impure. But Lord, if you are willing, you can make me all that. And then Jesus did something that is totally out of the norm. Yeah? And it was even out of the norm 5 years ago when we were having social distancing. Right? He laid hands on the infected person and he says, I am willing. Be clean. And he was clean immediately. Now, Jesus then told him something very peculiar. He says, don't tell anyone about this. Okay? But go to the temple and give the offering in accordance to Moses. This is what we call the cleansing offering. The cleansing offering was the same offering that Mary gave at the temple after the birth of Jesus. Yeah? And it was two birds, two doves, two sparrows. Basically, two birds, any they can afford, that is pure, as a testimony to say, surely the Lord heals and the Lord is faithful. Notice this, guys. Normally, you have to wait to be pure in order to go to God for intercession and thanksgiving. But in this frame, God had come into the presence of the unclean. And instead of being afeared, to say, oh, the unclean is amongst the clean, get away from me, Jesus is willing to lay himself and put his purity onto the leprous person, and in that he is made whole. There's a temple nearby here, I won't mention which one, and I take interns to go and visit, right? In this particular temple, yeah, it's beautiful. People go there and take wedding photos all the time because it looks very dong dong chiang, okay? Okay? Chinese culture, okay? Sorry, I don't mean to be, I'm not racist in that sense, but yeah. Basically, when you go there, it's like, wow, okay? It's definitely for a China wedding picture, right? But as we want to go in and visit, which we are more than welcome to, okay? Every sacred space, they are always more than welcome to receive visitors and guests and take selfies and put it on Instagram. Absolutely no problem. But when you want to go into the prayer hall, they will ask three questions. Number one, if you're a woman, okay? Number one, are you pregnant? If you're pregnant, you cannot go in. Number two, is your time of the month here? Because if it's here, you cannot come in. Yeah? And number three, okay? For men, are you clean? Meaning, have you bathed and clean, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, you don't look scrummy. Yeah. If you look like dirty, like you just came from a construction site, you cannot come in. Oh, and by the way, when you come in, make sure you walk in with your left foot. And when you're done visiting, please walk up with your right foot. Can you imagine a person who is in dire need for help? Before he could even ask for help, he must do so many things already. Additional prerequisites in order to maybe curry favor from God. All religions without Christ is a pursuit to be worthy to be saved. The followers of Jesus Christ walks around with confidence knowing that we are not worthy, but he made us worthy. He broke the boundaries of purity so that by his wounds we are healed. By his washing, we are made clean. When King David, in Psalm 51, when he prayed, he says, O Lord, purge me in hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Hyssop is a real remedy, you know, like you will plunge clothes in order to be clean and sanitized. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Jesus has offered so much better. He has offered his blood. So that by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are made eternal. We are made clean by faith. What does it take to initiate this? It's simple, but it's not. It's easy to do. It's easy to understand, but it's not that simple. It's easy because all you have to do is go to Jesus. But you have to go there, you have to do that against the very culture that you grew up in, where you must be clean, you must be in good standing, you must fulfill all pantang first, then only you can go into that holy place and ask God for help. Even a doctor will take anyone as long as you can register and pay money. This Lord Jesus Yeah, takes. He reminds us in the, another passage of scripture where he says, the physician is not for the healthy, but for the sick. I have come not for the holy people, I have come for sinners. So to the non-Christian, Jesus is offering himself to you first and foremost, no gift, no prerequisite, no nothing. All you have to do is be able to dare to ask, Lord, if you are willing. And guess what? If he is the same yesterday, today, and to forevermore, he will always say to your willing heart, I am willing. I am willing. So Jesus, the Lord Jesus, is that willing priest for the unclean. To the Christian, therefore, remember this, my dear friends. We are priests to a most holy God. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. There are people out there who find it very difficult to go to God. It is our privilege to go to them and be able to show them, see how God can come to you as we pray in Jesus' name. Have you ever seen any other religion that asks the question, how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? It's not in their format. It is very much in our format as we intercede because God has welcomed us into his holy space. And in awe and wonder, we see the glory of who he is and then be emboldened to ask, whether it be for salvation or intercession. So he is the willing priest for the unclean. Number two, he is the willing temple for the Gentile. The second story we see is that when he went into Capernaum, there is a centurion. Now, a centurion, for those of you who remember your Latin, basically means that he is a captain in charge of how many people? How many people? It's in the name, right? Century, 100. Centurion, 100. So he's a brigade, major, 100 people. So he's a powerful person. Most likely, because he's a centurion, he's not Jewish. Okay, he is Roman. How did he come to know of this Jesus who is able to heal and care for people? It could be from the community. It could be from his witnessing himself. It could be that his own servant, okay, because they will take a mixture of Jews and non-Jewish servants, Roman and non-Roman servants, and he might have heard, oh yeah, this Lord Jesus, he heals. This servant must be a dear friend to him, the one who has shown willingness and obedience to do much for his master. And so when he fell sick, this centurion went over to Jesus. He did not go to his family altar. He did not go to his temple. He might have, and it might not have worked. We don't know. It's not speculated. The real wow moment is that prior to this, Jesus had only been ministering to Jews, and the Jews had been rejecting him left, right, and center, except for those whom he fed, except for those who hear and were amazed by his words. But the Jewish officials were like, huh, blah, dear. For this centurion, on the other hand, he went up. And instead of pushing him away, go to your gods, he says, how may I help you? This centurion then goes and say, look, my servant is not well. Can you heal him? Jesus says, would you like me to go to him? That's a very interesting proposal, right? Because Jesus is so willing to come into another person's space, even if it's a Gentile. Now, there is a cultural understanding in this, and that is, in the house of a centurion would normally be altars to their family gods. And so it is quite normal to think, yeah, that if Jesus, if he is Lord and the centurion recognizes him as Lord, Kurios, which is another way of saying a divine one. If he comes into the family altar, the normal pantang is they will clash. To some of us who come from non-Christian families, this should sound very familiar, right? oh, what's a Christian doing in a in another religious house, you know, then there'll be conflict, you know. Some of us might have grown, I have just heard testimonies of brothers and sisters who minister to BB members, and they come to know the Lord, and if their parents are not Christian, a lot of times, especially from the small towns, they will say, hey, you know, you want to be Christian, fine. You go to church, fine. But don't bring a Bible in, don't bring a cross in, and do not get baptized. Because why? On one sense, it's not a sense of filial piety and the breaking of family. It's not that. It is a spiritual understanding. You say, hey, now we takut, the gods will fight. So this is the same idea that the centurion might be having. He says, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. He said that so humbly. But he, who is a centurion, very practical person. The Caesar need to be right next to him in order for him to do his job. No, he carries with him a seal to show that, yes, I am the appointed centurion. I command 100 people. And by that seal, all the other people will follow. And so he says that to Jesus. He says, look, you are not worthy to come to my... I'm not worthy to have you come to my house, but only you say the word, I know it will happen. Because I, O Lord, am a soldier. I know when I see servants do this, they will do. And therefore, O Lord Jesus, if you are Lord over everyone's lives, including the Gentiles, all you have to do is say it, and he will be healed. Jesus, in response, he responds in amazement. He said, I tell you this, I have never seen such faith. And I've seen from the east, if you say to that, if I come from the east to the, I say to that many will come from the east and west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham. And that is a prophetic statement. So Jesus was amazed. Why? Because even a Jew will not do that. The Jew will insist, hey, come lah, you know, you lay your hand. This one is so, his faith is so strong. He said, Lord, you just say the word and it shall happen. Because of that faith, because of that simple but firm faith, Jesus then gives this encouragement for all generations. He says this, many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham. When Jesus says many will come from the east and at the west, he is quoting from Psalms 103. And in Psalms 103 is the gathering of the nations back to the temple of the Lord. And so Jesus is saying, by that faith, that is how the nations will return. And starting from that centurion, we see that Jesus is no longer a temple for Jews, where people can come and seek healing, but he is also a temple for Gentiles, where in his name, all may be free and all may be made whole. Isn't it amazing? Even being in this hall is a multiple cultural juxtapositions. What do I mean? I mean that we are Asians, okay, non-whites at least, non-Caucasians for the most of us, all right? And you are hearing the gospel in English, in pews in an American fashion, with screens made in China, yeah, being able to access and accessible online, because this will be streamed into YouTube, where we have been getting hits from Russia, from the stans, you know, Pakistan, Tajikistan, all these stans. Yeah, not my cousins, you know, the stans, not tans, okay, stans. All these stans countries, yeah, and we are seeing, you know, inquiries, because, oh, I found you online. My friend is in Penang, I'm from Penang, my friend is in KL, can you go and visit him? What a beautiful weave of cultures coming together to provide that one testament that is the gospel. This is unfathomable in any other culture-based religion. In every other culture-based religion, if you want to read their holy book, you must first learn their language. If you want to learn to pray, you must pray in their language. If you want to meditate, you must meditate in their posture. If you want to pray, you must pray a certain way, a direction. If you want to eat, you must eat a certain way. Then baru you are truly that particular religion. The difference is that while every other sacred word in the world requires you to learn the language and then only understand, Jesus came and showed that our faith is a translatable faith. Because Jesus himself is a translation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among men. We could not fathom and understand God. But God made himself understandable in the person that is Jesus. And that is why we, my dear friends, the Christians here, how you live, how you share the gospel, in time, people will realize what an active temple you are for the living God. Just coming back from Boys Brigade's 80th anniversary and annual general meeting, we've heard testimony after testimony. And of course, we on stage, you like to hear the instant ones. Oh, in a week, you know, because we were able to reach out to the child through a friend and he was able to come to BB. And then through Boys Brigade, came to know Christ. He shared that to his parents and his parents started to volunteer in BB because BB takes 4 hours every Saturday. You know, 40 weeks a year is quite a commitment. And the parents feel, since you take my kids so, let me come and help lah. And as they come and help, they hear the good news and they themselves come to know Jesus. And all that is in the span of a year. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's great. But sometimes the journey is longer. I know some officers who came to know Christ through Boys Brigade at 14 years old. They cannot get baptized until they're 21. Why? Because in the Chinese culture, while you're under my house, you must follow me. But when you turn 21, I give you the key to the house, you do whatever you want lah. And reap the consequences. And so at 21, the first thing they do, they go and get baptized. The worry and the hopefulness that we have, and the hopefulness that we have in God is that God preserves their faith from the day they knew Christ when they were a teenager. To they come to the expression of faith finally in the 6-7 years before they get baptized. So I pray, my dear Christians, continue to encourage him in faith and continue to encourage that new believer by living out that life as well so that they may see how wonderful our God is even though they have this challenge ahead of them. And to the non-believer, if you're not a Christian, whatever your ethnic background or whatever your religious background is, listen to this. Jesus is willing to be right beside you there and then. Well, no matter what language, no matter what ethnicity, no matter what culture you come from, Jesus is willing to be your God because he is willing to cross international, political, and cultural borders just so that you may be his people and he will be your God. He is the willing temple for every Gentile. He is the willing God for all nations. He is the willing comforter for the marginalized. This might sound very normal to us in this modern age, but when Jesus went into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law, lying in bed with a fever. Now, this detail is quite important for a few reasons. Number one, we know that if in the Middle Eastern culture, if a man, a guest man, comes into the house of a Middle Easterner, the women must be separated. Right? So the fact that Jesus is willing to go in and was willing to see the mother-in-law, he was willing to break the cultural barriers to be able to reach out to all men and women. One. Number two, she was lying down with a fever. OK, Okay, that lying down with a fever is an indication of infection. And in those days, they think it could be potentially a plague. Right? And so if you wonder, why is it that Peter never asked Jesus to heal his mother-in-law? It's not a joke. It's not that, oh, you know, it's just my mother-in-law, no need to heal her. No, not at all, not at all. Peter, in two ways, okay, has shown his faith. Number one, he doesn't ask. Yeah, he doesn't ask because he knows that if he does, then the other disciples will feel, oh, you put my Savior in a very odd predicament. But number two, the fact that he went to the Peter's house in the first place means it was by Peter's invitation. And Peter knows silently and without even asking, Jesus comes in, sees his mother-in-law sick with fever, and he would touch her hand, and the fever would leave her. And in response, the mother-in-law got up and served and began to wait on him. So this is a special passage here in a few levels. Number one is to mothers. Yeah, you may think that your challenges are not seen, your pains are not felt by anyone else. You may think that your cries are not heard. Yeah, first of all, if that happens, please smack your husband in the back of the head. Okay, and please forgive us, lah. Huh? We are blur, we are blunt. We tell us explicitly. Then baru we understand. That's why we read instruction manuals. We need the information. And for those who don't, we ke gao la, we try and do ourselves, and that's why we get into so much trouble. But know this, my dear sisters, mothers, whether it be to blood children, adopted children, or spiritual children, He hears your heart. He knows your needs. He knows your struggles. And He is right there for you. Cast all your cares upon Him. You cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. And unlike any other faith, where if men had extra steps to go into the holy place, women, sometimes you cannot even go in by the sheer fact of your gender. But Jesus has shown time and time again that He is the God for all people and all genders. That is why in Christ there neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for all are one under Christ. Not promoting transgenderism or any of that fluidity, but the fact that there is a dichotomy in two genders, there's a male and female, and last time people think, oh, God only focuses on the male. No, God merely includes, my dear sisters, He is there for you. Pantai Baptist Church is an interesting testimony to that. 60% of our members are female on the registry. Okay? For two reasons. One is women have a longer life expectancy in Malaysia than men. Okay? It's not a conspiracy, it's just statistics. Number two, the woman's heart is always the first one or the softest one that comes to faith, and is we hard jagged men that later comes into the picture. So to my dear brothers in Christ, please support your wives, support your sisters in this church to bear that testimony. And for all the men who have yet to sign up for membership, or for those who have yet to be baptized, I'm waiting for you. And to the non-believers, it is especially a similar, if not even more of a struggle. Especially if you're from a Chinese or Southeast Asian culture, and if you are the eldest son, it's harder for you. So to my dear brothers to be, who have yet to receive Christ, when you feel that you cannot bear both standards, remember this: Jesus is your older brother. He is your true older brother who has fulfilled all the necessities of the Heavenly Father so that now we may be equally called children of God. He is here to comfort you. So he's a comforter to the marginalized. Those that are closest to God's heart, the orphan, the widow, the migrant, and the poor. Christians, we are called to reach out to the likes of them. And to those who have, and to those who are still looking for a space or sanctuary, even though you may feel a little off place, the more off place you feel, the more you are welcome. Because Jesus came for you. Finally, he is the willing sacrifice for sinners. The interesting phenomenon discussed here in verse 16, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. Yeah? So there is a two. So there are two things we can learn. Number one is, have you noticed that it is, that the demon-possessed person and the sick were not, they did not go to Jesus voluntarily? Right? It's not like, and the demon-possessed people go to Jesus. No, it's not. It's like, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him. And so I want a lesson to be learned here, my dear brothers and sisters. We are not the sacrifice, but we are the catalyst to the true sacrifice of Christ. We are not the ghostbuster, but we are the ones who can bring our brothers and sisters who are disturbed by the evil one, we may intercede to the true victorious Christ. And that is what we are called to do. Okay? I know being in 21st century Malaysia, yeah, we sometimes try and laugh away all the mysterious things that we experience when we were younger, but that is a reality that continues to happen today. Demon possession, oppression, disturbance, yeah? And the Christian, this is our task, we will see it more because we have seen the true Holy Spirit, and therefore when we walk out in and see in the world before us, we will be more sensitive to the middle space where the evil one is holding people captive. It might just look like what you may see in the movies, but not all the time. The more common ones that the evil one will attack is not in direct oppression and harming, but the evil one, what he will do is that he will put our friends in a space of comfortable self-reliance. I saw a TikTok video clip recently where a character said, the devil does not care about good or bad people. The devil only cares that you are not saved from Christ, that you're not saved by Christ. The devil is not worried if you are a good person or a bad person. He is concerned over those who are saved in Jesus Christ. So the devil will not stop you from being a good person. He will try and stop you from believing in Jesus and help you find confidence in only yourself. Therefore, we, my dear friends, we are not the sacrifice, but we are the recipients of the sacrifice. And to receive the sacrifice means that we need help. Don't be that Christian who says, because in Jesus I never have any problems. Don't be that Christian. Because I'm Christian already, I don't need to pray. Everything is done in Jesus' name. Everything is good. No. Because we are in Christ, we may more willingly, openly, publicly express our need for Jesus, no matter how high or low we are. Whether you are desperate, in desperate situations and crying for help, make sure you cry for help and let that be a testimony of God's goodness in your life as He redeems you. If you're in a season of high because you because all things were going, is going by your way. Please don't neglect. Give praise unto God. And he was, give praise unto God so that he may be glorified and others may find hope in him. So one, there are many people out there who are in spiritual depravity, in spiritual chains, which we can ask the Lord Jesus to help set free. So intercede on their behalf, please. Second thing we learn, and this is a more explicit one, you will see that Jesus had drove the spirits out of the demon-possessed people and he healed all the sick. Undiscriminately, not of faith or anything, but because he was brought, he then heals. So does God heal? Absolutely. Okay, that's the what. But please remember to ask why. Lord, why would you heal? It's quite a contrasting thing to think about. Because for us as Christians, death is the ultimate release. No more sickness, no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow. So why do we want for healing? That's why oftentimes the Christian faith can be looked upon as a semi-depressing faith when we are sick. Oh Lord, if I can't bear it anymore, please, if it's your will, take me now, take me now. But actually, we seek for healing. Yeah? Which is good, because why? We then realize there's more to live by, and for those of us who go to the point of near death and come back, you then realize there's so much for us to do for the Lord. But second thing is that therefore, Jesus is showing us that our lives, as long as we live on this earth, is a life of purpose. Just like his life on this earth was for a purpose. What was that purpose? Matthew reminds us of what was spoken in the prophet Isaiah. Now in the NIV Bible, you will see here, it's the specific quote that Matthew quotes. And it says here, he took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. Okay? It will be a shame of us to only just look at that small bit here. Okay? So I brought it up here. All right? This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. There is a purpose. If you have a cross-reference Bible, you will see, or even the Bibles in the pews here, you will see there's a small letter by the side there, and it will ask you to refer to Isaiah 53. I have it for you in the screen here. Okay, so the first part is what Matthew quoted. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. But then it continues. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. This is the messianic passage of Isaiah. So Matthew is making a case that is unequivocal that Jesus has done all these things because he is the promised Messiah from long ago, and he has come to fulfill. So friends, know this. You do not need to come to Jesus only when you are in trouble. You come to Jesus because he has set you free from the ultimate trouble of every humanity, and that is when we die, or even now when we are alive, are we square with God? Are we in a good place with God? If you're not, this is the remedy. That Jesus became the sacrifice that satisfies the wrath of God, and so that he may look at us with mercy, grace, kindness, and love. So we learn a few things about Jesus. He is the willing priest. He is a willing priest for the impure. He is a willing temple for the Gentile, for you and me. He is the willing comforter for the marginalized, and he is a willing sacrifice for sinners. Now the question is, are you willing to trust
in Him.
Now, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, you may have some of these excuses in your head. Oh Lord, Pastor, my life is not clean enough. I am not ready. You know, I have some other experiences to go through, or I have some troubles that I must deal with first. Then only I can come to God ready and clean and spotless. That's a lie of a devil. That's all cap. It's all wrong. My dear brothers and sisters, y'all don't need to get your W in check in order to come before God. Jesus already saw you as an L and put His W on you. For those who are above 50 years old, what I mean is, you do not need to get your life squared away and look like a winner before God. Jesus has already seen the loser in us, and by His sacrifice, He made us win. We are victorious. You may say, oh, you know, Pastor, this religion is not my culture. It's such a Western culture. You know, it's such a foreign culture to me. You know, I may need some time to learn the culture. Jesus did not come to provide a culture. Jesus had come to provide a person, a Savior. And therefore, it is nothing to do with you needing to conform to another culture, but it's everything to you to come to follow the true and risen Savior. So don't start with the cultures and the externalities, but start with the very heart that matters, that is your faith and belief. The centurion did not become a Jew first in order to go and visit Jesus. You do not need to become a Westerner. Please remember, Jesus is Middle Eastern. Yeah? There's this woke narrative. They say, oh, you know, don't y'all in Asia and Africa should not follow Christianity because Christianity is a Western culture. I love one video where a brother from Africa, I think he's from Ethiopia, he came and says, excuse me, the Ethiopian church is one of the oldest churches, is one of the oldest churches in the world. Before Western Christianity came to Africa, Christianity already came into Africa. The Ethiopian Bible is one of the oldest used manuscripts for the Christian faith. Hundreds of years before the white man knew anything about Jesus. But we don't look down on each other's cultures, but we affirm one another and say, you see, Jesus is the God Savior for all cultures. And finally, for those of you who might be in a position where, you know what, Pastor, I'm scared, or I feel weak or unable to come to God by myself. And therefore, there's a question there, right? And the question there is, will someone please help me come to Jesus? And the answer is yes. Every priesthood, brother and sister here, our call is to help others walk into the space of Jesus and let them realize that you can put your trust in Him and be willing to say, Lord, not only do I trust you, Lord, I need you. For He has taken up our infirmities, and by His wounds we are healed. So, my dear friends, is the Lord willing? Indeed, He is. He is willing to intercede. He is willing to sacrifice. He is willing to comfort. He is willing to restore. Now let us be that restored believer in this great high priest who is the temple of the living God, whose sacrifice is once and for all, so that we too may taste and see that God is good. And to every non-believer here, and for those of you who are online, this is an invitation for you. Would you put your trust in Jesus, who has overcome all those boundaries, so that you may run effortlessly to Him? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks as we ponder on how magnificent it must have been that the world can bear the weight of your holiness. And you did not go to the sacred, you did not go to the saints, you came to us sinners, and by your sacrifice, we are made saints. We thank you, O God. We thank you that you look beyond our impurity and call us to be made whole. We thank you that you call us not to a space in particular, but you ask us to open the space in our hearts so that you may abide in us and with us. Lord, thank you that you are our comforter. You did not come with judgment and demands, but you come with comfort, and you came bearing a gift which values beyond all measure. Thank you, O Lord, for being that once and for all sacrifice. So all we need to do is put our trust in you. Lord, give us the faith like the leper who did not let his impurity prevent himself from coming to you. Lord, give us the faith of the centurion who did not let his culture become a chain away from you. Lord, let us become like even Peter's mother-in-law, the demon-possessed, and the sick. Let us become like them who had friends who intercedes for us. And let us be the friends, their faithful son-in-law like Peter, or even the good friend who brought the demon-possessed and the sick to you, because we know that you are the one who can make us all whole again. For those of us who have yet to witness and profess that Jesus is Lord, I invite you this day. You may have been away from God for a while, or maybe you've never known this Savior. He comes knocking at the door of your heart and he is asking, would you receive him and recognize him as your Lord and Savior? If that is the case, I just want you to say this prayer confession, saying, Lord Jesus, thank you for being my Savior and my God. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for overcoming death. Thank you for being the Lord God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, I pray that I may follow you into forever and eternity in Jesus' name. Lord, if you heard the prayer of the heart of that brother and sister, we give you praise and thanks and ask that your Holy Spirit fill him, fill her, fill them, O Lord, that they may taste and see that God is good. And if you have said that prayer and made that testimony, we appreciate that you just reach out to us. If you're in this hall, tell the brother or sister who invited you, or the one or the believer next to you. If you are online, do give us a message and we would love to reach out to you. For God is pleased and all of heaven celebrates when a brother or sister returns unto him. So God, we pray that you continue to be that Savior, be that mediator, be that redeemer, be that temple where we can reside, and be that sacrifice that we can depend on, so that we too may be used mightily to go out and bring others unto you as well. Lord, thank you that indeed you are willing. Now make us, Lord, empower us so that we may be willing too. In Jesus' name.